Mrs. Sultan, again, thank you very much for joining us. First of all, how did you end up being an expert witness in this trial? How did Mr. Wilders ask you?
I really don't know what's the reason behind it. I was asked to come, and I am more than happy to do it.
What are you going to tell the judge tomorrow?
Whatever they ask me, I'm going to answer to the best of my knowledge.
Do you know, Ms.?
I heard that they're accusing Mr. Wilders of hate speech, and for me, it's shame. It is shame not to be able to speak out. You know, it is shame that Mr. Wilders has to go through this ordeal, you know, just because saying the truth might hurt someone's feeling, even if it is going to save lives. That's what I'm going to say.
But you don't know why you specifically were asked. You met him before?
Not before I was chosen to be a witness.
Okay. So you have had two meetings with Mr. Wilders. Now you're meeting him again.
Not private meeting. I was invited to two events where he gave speeches.
How well do you know him, and do you know his...
I'm very familiar with his message. I don't know much about him as, you know, I mean personal things, but I'm very familiar with his message, and I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, what do you make of his message?
It is very good. It's very good for someone to stand up against the violent Islamic teachings and try to protect his country and his values, his freedoms, his way of life. I admire every man who does what Mr. Wilders is doing. You need to stand up and speak against him.
What do you make of this trial against him?
It is scary. It is a very scary message that you are threatened, that Islam might be able to take over. You accuse, I mean, you know, the Dutch court accuse Mr. Wilders of hate speech. And I wonder why they don't call the Quran hate message. When you read the Quran, do you consider it love message? So why do you allow Muslims to teach their violent teachings to their young children while you don't allow people like Mr. Wilders to criticize those teachings? This is the question.
I don't know exactly what the judge will ask you tomorrow, but Mr. Wilders is well known here for saying that Islam is a backward culture, and he has said many times in public that, as far as he concerned, the Quran should be banned and people wearing headscarves should be taxed accordingly.
I 100% agree with him, because he knows a big deal what the Quran is about. Once you know, you're gonna take a stand the same way he did. Because I believe you as a Dutch won't allow someone to destroy your way of life. So my message to the Dutch people, get familiar with the Islamic teachings, read the Quran and read the life of Muhammad. And you need to understand that Muhammad is the role model for every Muslim man on earth.
And why is that a bad thing?
Because the way they behave against non-Muslims, they are brainwashed to believe, indoctrinated to believe, that their mission on earth is to take over and to force non-Muslims to become Muslims. And believe me, the Islamic values don't match with the Western value. They're not for freedom. You have to follow strictly what Islamic Sharia asked you to do. especially when it comes to women. I don't know if Dutch women will accept to live the life or to be treated the way Muslim women are treated under Islamic Sharia. They're not familiar with Islamic Sharia, that's why they don't stand up against it. But once you educate the public about it, then many more, like Wilders, will speak out.
You have said many times that you are fighting Islam. Do you see Wilders as in that same group?
Yes, he is. Yes, we're not fighting Muslims. We're not against Muslims. Even Mr. Wilders has said that many, many, many times. We have to distinguish between Islam and Muslim. We're not against Muslims, but we're totally against Islam. Because it is a very hateful political ideology which doesn't match the Western laws and the Western way of life.
A large group of the Dutch population does not agree with you, does not see it that way. What don't they understand about Islam?
Anything. They don't understand anything about Islam. How many Islamic texts have been translated to Dutch so far? So how they know? There are a few. I don't know if the situation in Holland the same as it is in the United States. There are few books which are sugar-coated and was distributed by the Saudis. And doesn't those books don't have the truth about Islam. They're very sugar-coated, especially the translation of the Quran, because in Islam, it is forbidden to translate the Quran. If you take a look at the translation of the Quran in English, you will see the meaning of our holy book. It is not the literal translation. It's not word for word. And it's very much sugar-coated. So you need to translate in very honest way the Islamic text from its original Arabic text to Dutch and have people read it, and then make their judgment.
So you're saying the Dutch in general are those who say that Islam is not a hateful religion, or at least, yeah, you say they misunderstand.
Of course they do.
They
don't understand the whole idea about Islam.
There are 800,000 Muslims living in the Netherlands. Do you see them as a threat to the Dutch way of life?
Not every Muslim is a threat. I'm sure many Muslims are very moderate.
But some are?
Some are dangerous, and some are playing the al-taqiyya, the concept of al-taqiyya, which allows Muslims to cheat, to lie, to cover their feelings in order to reach their objective. How many percent of those, I really don't know. But we cannot consider every Muslim is a threat. It depends how deeply he understands his religion and stick to his teachings.
But if you're saying that, you just said, I don't have a problem with Muslims, I have a problem with Islam.
Yes.
Now it seems that you have a problem with at least some Muslims.
No doubt about it. I don't want to generalize my attitude. Of course, I have problem with some Muslims. But I don't want to say every Muslim is a threat. That's not fair. My mother is a Muslim, and she's still practicing Islam. She's the most peaceful woman on earth. But she's illiterate. She has never read the Quran or the life of Muhammad. She practiced Islam the way she heard her mother and her grandmother talking about Islam. So that's what I mean. I cannot consider my mom as a threat. But she doesn't know much about Islam. I'm worried about Muslims who know the exact Muslim Islamic message and get stick to it. That's what it worries me. And I'm sure there are some of them who do that.
What happens to you that you didn't follow your mother's footsteps?
I have had very unique circumstances, you know, and when people ask me why we don't hear more Muslim women like you express themselves in the same way, I believe you have to have special or unique character in order to be able to go against your own religion, against your own culture. It is not easy. It has been very draining. You know, my after, you know, I said whatever I said about Islam, my life will never be the same. So I understand why Muslim women don't do it more often, because it's very draining. And as I said, you have to be equipped with special power, special strength to do that. And I am.
But there were also circumstances in your life that
yes.
made you see, really, like what? What was the pitiful event in your life?
You know, I am a medical doctor. It helped me to evaluate my teachings under my scientific microscope. I was born and raised as a Muslim and lived for 30 years of my life under Islamic Sharia. Then I moved to a free country. I felt, you know, I was protected by the law and I was free enough to express my life. Plus, my husband plays a role in shaping, you know, helping me actually to shape my thoughts about Islam.
I've heard you tell the story of your niece who was married
yes,
to...
many, many experiences, you know, many, many experiences. And it took me a book called The God Who Hates to answer your question, because it didn't happen overnight. There were many turning points of my life, and the story of my niece was one of it. But I couldn't realize the reason behind my niece's tragedy until I went and I lived in a free society.
And what did you then realize about Islam that is so bad?
Because I give you one example. My niece was forced to marry her cousin when she was 11. He was over 40. He was very abusive man, and she didn't have the right to ask for divorce. Her father was not able to help her many times. She escaped from her husband's house to her father's, begging her dad to allow her to stay with her family, and he would say, you know, it's shame for a Muslim woman to leave her husband's house without his permission. Go back, I will talk to him, I promise he will be better. Eventually she committed suicide, leaving four children behind. Her marriage was valid under Islamic Sharia, and that's where I started question myself, what kind of religious law that allows a man over 40 to marry a child at the age of 11? When I found out, even I knew that before, but I wasn't able to distinguish between, I was brainwashed to the point I wasn't able to distinguish between right and wrong. I knew that Muhammad married his second wife, Aisha, when she was 9, and some even texts say she was 6. He was over 50. And I didn't realize when I was living under Islamic Sharia that that's not acceptable So living in the United States has helped me to open my mind, to open my eyes, and I started to question myself. What kind of prophet, when he married a very young girl, 9 years old, and he was her grandfather's age. So I started from there. And eventually, I have become who I am today.
But what you described just a moment ago would be illegal in the Netherlands. You cannot marry someone who's underage, for example.
But some Muslims are trying to apply Islamic Sharia. And
here in the Netherlands?
I heard everywhere in the West. There, you know, I heard that I was very involved with my Muslim community in the United States. And I had heard it million times that they were here to eventually replace the American Constitution with Islamic Sharia. And this is their goal, this is their mission, is to spread Islam and to take over. This is the underlying foundation of Islam. We are indoctrinated at very early age to believe in it, to believe that we have to fight for the sake of Allah. Some of them don't because they are weak to do it. They don't have the means to do it. And once they do, they will do it.
You've said, I've decided to fight Islam itself, not just extremism, Wahhabism, but Islam.
Because I don't believe there is radical Islam. I truly believe the term radical Islam is Western trademark. The West invented this term for the sake of being politically correct. Growing up in Syria, I had never heard of radical Islam, Wahhabi Islam, militant Islam, political Islam. I heard only of one Islam, the normal Islam.
And you say all Islam is bad?
No doubt about it. And in order for you to understand what I mean by that, you need to read the Quran. And the biggest problem is with Muhammad's life, the way he conducted his life. At the age of 8, 9, we were taught at school that Muhammad beheaded 800 Jewish men in one night. And proudly, we read in our books that he slept. They said he married, but he slept with a woman, a Jewish woman, whose husband, her father, and her brother were killed at the same night. So what kind of message you're sending to your young children when you teach them this type of teachings? This question, I am doing what I am doing for the sake of Muslims. I am not against Muslims. I dream of a day that my country will become a free country like Holland. I don't want to see Holland or any other Western country to become a country like Syria, oppressive and oppressed country like Syria. This is my dream. I'm doing it for the sake of Muslims, especially Muslim women. They are suffering for 1400 years. They have never been challenged or forced to take a deep look into their teachings and to reform these teachings. We need to do it.
You became a YouTube hit when you appeared on Al Jazeera in 06. And you were saying, I think that was the key thing in that speech, that we are not, you were discussing Samuel O. Huntington's book, a clash of civilization. You saw another clash. What kind of clash did you see?
Between civilization and backwardness. That's how I see it. That's how I see it, the way Islam treats women and treats non-Muslim is not civilized and they need to be stopped for the sake of every country on earth. They need to be stopped. This is my message.
Spreading that message has come with a personal price for you.
Of course, I am paying a very high price. I receive death threat on daily basis. You know, it has become a way of life. I told you my life will never be the same. But you know, as I said before, I feel like I am equipped to do it. So the question, why not? Especially I am living in a free country and I am protected by the law to say what I am saying.
Do you see yourself as a crusader?
It depends how you mean by crusader. I don't want, you know, I feel like now I interact with my readers in the Arab world. I am a well-known writer in the Arab world. I feel like I created, believe it or not, a vacuum in the Arab world. People now started to ask, what next? We left Islam. What next? They are looking for something spiritual to hold on. I don't want to be perceived as a spiritual leader. I don't want to be another Muhammad in the Islamic world. I want to keep my message as secular as I could. I'm looking at Islam through my scientific microscope as a medical doctor and telling my people the truth about it from my point of view. I don't want to become a spiritual leader, but I feel like I created a vacuum in their lives. So my next step in Arabic, I'm saying, is to create a system of values, because Islam lacks values. Islam lacks code of ethics. The crisis in the Islamic world is lack of morality. We don't have code of ethics.
But when you read the Bible, there are passages in there that people these days, 2,000 years on, would consider, to put it mildly, not very nice. Do you see Christianity as a better religion than Islam?
I don't know much about
Christ. Well, I mean, you mean America,
alternative?
Well, America, the country that you clearly enjoy, is a very Christian nation.
Yeah, look, my mission is to create doubt about Islam. My message for Muslim is to take a deep look in their teachings. Once they left or they reformed, let's say, even I don't believe Islam can be reformed, but some people claim they are able to do that. Let's, you know, my mission is to guide them to take a look at their teachings, to leave it or to reform it. The next step is their business to follow. I don't follow a specific religion. I do believe in God, but I don't believe in any religion. So my I'm not trying to convert Muslim to Christianity, and I cannot care less about what religion they're gonna have after they leave Islam. So this is my point. I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, you say you believe in a God, but you are not religious.
No, I am not. No, I am not. I don't follow any religion. I don't know much about Christianity. I don't know much about any other religion, and I don't really care to know.
But do you see, for example, parallels, America being such a great free speech nation with Christianity and...
I have read in history that America was based on Judaism and Christianity values, which I really admire and appreciate. It was based on the Ten Commandments. You don't see the Ten Commandments in Islam. You know, there is no Quranic verse that says don't kill. There is three times the Quran mentioned don't kill except in a way of justice. So you have to ask, what the Muslim concept of justice? Their concept of justice commands them to kill Wafa Sultan because she's criticizing Islam. But in the Ten Commandments, what I know, you shall not kill, and that's it. There is no justification in the Ten Commandments for any killing.
Sounds like you're liking Christianity better than Islam.
That's what I know, the Ten Commandments. Of course, I believe, you know, that when people ask what I like about Christianity is the life of Jesus. Because I am always asked, why you're saying Islam cannot be reformed? Why Christians were able in the Middle Ages to reform Christianity? And my question is, they reformed themselves, not Christianity, because they went back to the life of Jesus, and they were able, based on Jesus' life, to reform their behaviors. But the problem with Islam, if we go back to the life of Muhammad, we will be in much worse situation than we are now. We will end up with people like Osama bin Laden and his legs. Do you understand my point? That's what, I don't know much about the Bible, but I have never heard that Jesus beheaded anyone or killed anyone. But when you go back to the life of Muhammad, it's full of killings. It's something you cannot believe it. This is the difference that I am aware of between Christianity and Islam.
You say you are on a, would you like a sip of water?
Oh, thank you.
Sorry about that. Ma'am, you say you are on a mission. When is the mission successful? Mission accomplished.
I consider it successful from the very beginning. Once you believe in something and you are determined to do it, you're going to succeed. You know, eventually we will win. But I have no doubt about it.
But how will success, how do you define success? What's the goal? What's it you're trying to
do? My goal is to create a new Muslim mentality clean of hatred. My goal is to raise the awareness in the West about what's written in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad. My mission is to protect my adopted country that I love with all my heart. If America was taken by Muslims, where else I can go and be able to be who I am today? This is my mission. My mission and my dream, as I told you before, is to see my mother country, Syria, a free country like any free country in the West. This is my message, and I can see the change coming.